Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 26, 2016, and with me today, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'd be pumped.
I'm so happy for you. Yeah, I'm glad you're both here. And originally, I was thinking we'd end up talking about the earnings report for the whole show. But based on what's been going on this morning, we're going to have to just jump right into it because there's more than the earnings report that I want to talk about. So
a whole lot more.
Yeah. Okay. So the quick rundown is Apple's fourth fiscal quarter earnings report happened yesterday afternoon, and Apple reported $46.9 billion in earnings. In revenue, $9 billion in earnings. And they were down. What is that quarter? Yeah. So their quarterly revenue was down. Wow. You'd think I would have had all this memorized, but it was a long day. Anyhow, so the point...
It was down, but it was not dramatic.
It was not dramatically down, yes.
It was down year
over
year.
And it was within the guidance, I believe.
Yes, it was totally within guidance. Thank you, John.
Q4 15 was 51.5.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, so Apple sold 45.5 million iPhones, so they beat the estimates there. And in comparison, that's actually down year over year because...
It's 48 a year ago.
Uh-huh. Mac sales came in at 4.9 million, excuse me, and analysts expected that to be 5.2 million. iPad sales were in line with what analysts expected at 3.9 million units.
Not iPad? 9.2.
It's 9.2? I thought it was 9.3. Okay,
9.267, which rounds to 9.3. You were correct, sir.
That's why I thought it was 9.3, because my brain apparently has a rounding chip in it. So
overall, what we're hearing is that Apple's going to be around another year, maybe two.
Sure.
Maybe two. Oh, I'm so excited.
All right, so my big question is, with the numbers that Apple has, just... Mm-hmm. Standalone, I mean, these are pretty impressive numbers. Apple's reporting in a quarter earnings that beat what some companies make all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still selling iPhones as fast as they can sell them, Macs.
Which I did hear, I do want to point out, I did hear a number of times yesterday, they were talking about supply-demand balance and how, like, some of the things that the analysts were asking, they basically said, I don't have an answer for, because we're selling every single one we make as fast as we can possibly make them. So we don't have whatever the forward-looking number was that the analysts wanted. So
the context there, Kelly, is they're not making enough.
Well, sure. I understand that, but I will say that every year we have this, and I don't remember ever hitting supply-demand balance on the earnings call after the iPhone comes out, ever. Ever, ever, ever. And I could be misremembering that, but I don't remember it ever being a thing where by the time the earnings call came around, you could walk in a store and buy whatever iPhone you want.
Well, this is intentional. We know this is intentional by Apple because the inability to get one creates a sense of urgency and a sense of yearning. And when you know you can't get something that you think you might want, it makes you want it even more. We know that. Apple does that on purpose.
But even, like, logistically, like, you know, I think the first, second, even the third generation of iPhone took a lot of people by surprise. And I think that included Apple in the amount of time it took them to get as many made as they needed, you know, to achieve the magical supply-demand balance, whatever it is that causes them to decide that they've reached that. They've never reached it, like, in the month after. You know, like, I don't remember ever seeing that. And I think this is one of those things where people sort of, I guess, in the Apple bubble, look at something like earnings are down, you know, revenue is down, whatever it is, like, they're not absolutely wiping the floor with all the competition. I've said this before because we talk about it on like every earnings call aftermath show that we do, which is Apple didn't make all the money. They only made almost all the money. And if it was any other company, analysts would be fainting at the sheer magnitude of these numbers. But because it's Apple, there's some higher standard that everybody gets held to and nobody can figure out, you know, like, clearly they're doomed. They're doing something wrong.
Well,
you know, is it the end time?
It's not a question of being doomed, Kelly. It's a question of trends. Yeah, they're making a lot of money. But imagine if this was Microsoft and it was Steve Ballmer in charge. You'd say, oh, they're making a lot of money. But we'd say, well, look, their iPad sales are in decline. Their iPhone sales are in decline. Their Mac sales are in decline. This is not good for the future of the company. But it's Microsoft and we love them. So, you know, they're making all this money. I think I remember a few quarters ago that Tim Cook said the iPad Pro series was going to reverse this decline of iPad sales. Maybe I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. I seem to have that recollection. And the iPad Pro 12.9 inch was released in November of 15. So we've had almost a full year for the iPad mm-hmm. Pro line, this 9.7 and then 12.9, to reverse this downward trend. And yet iPad sales still declined quarter mm-hmm. by quarter and year over year.
Yeah.
So that bothers me.
But I'm going to say the same thing. Well, right now,
even though they have 80% of the market share.
I'm going to say the same thing about Apple that I'm going to say, John.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same thing about Microsoft about Apple that I would say about Microsoft if we were having the same conversation about them before this morning, which we'll get to in a minute. They have enough money that, you know, like, this doesn't concern me as far as the direction of the company yet. What will concern me is if, to use your iPad Pro example, if we get the new model of iPad Pro and it's whatever it is that's keeping people from buying the one that's out now, that hurdle has been overcome. You know, like with the second iPad, you know, when the first iPad came out, people went, this is amazing. And then they went, wait, it doesn't have a camera. Are you kidding? And then the second one had a camera. And so a bunch more people bought them. So whatever it is about the iPad Pro that's keeping people from buying it, if they fix that thing or add that feature or whatever it is, and then people start buying them again, then I'll go, okay, see, there's nothing to worry about here. Now, if they take a hard turn away from whatever it is that people want and they're unapologetic and they call it courage or whatever sort of story they want to feed us, then there's a different conversation to be had. And I don't think we're far enough down that road yet to really worry about that, because we have something on the horizon that we don't even know.
What annoys me is that there was a time when Tim Cook said iPad Pro was going to fix this. And there was a time he said that iPad Pro sales are down, but we're seeing cannibalization, and that's fine with us. And people mm-hmm. were in love with the MacBooks, but now Mac sales are down. So clearly there's no cannibalization that can explain away the decline in iPad sales, because Mac sales are down too. So the whole thing is kind of unnerving for me.
I'd be unnerved if it weren't a bigger trend, a bigger problem, something where we'd seen Apple try to make that correction and still fail.
Yeah, and Mac sales being down, it makes sense, because we're looking at computers that haven't been refreshed in a really long time.
And yeah, but that's Apple's fault. They did that. They did that to themselves.
Yeah, they absolutely did that to themselves. But now we have potentially a lot of pent-up demand for new Macs, and that may be addressed tomorrow.
Oh, I think it was addressed today.
Huh. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, that's probably a really good point for us to make the transition into the other thing that I wanted to talk about.
I'm reading your mind, Kelly. I'm reading your mind.
Okay, so this is Wednesday the 26th. The Microsoft hosted their own media event this morning where they introduced the Surface Studio.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, and for all the people that have been saying Microsoft should have killed the Surface line a long time ago, and at some point I may have even said that, well, they didn't need to kill the Surface line, because holy crap. The Surface Studio looks like an amazing device. It
looks amazing.
Yeah, it's a 26-inch display.
28.
Okay, 28-inch display with the base is the whole computer thing, and the display is touch sensitive, and it's on these sliding arms, so you can change the angle. You can slide it down and use it as a 28-inch graphics tablet. And I look at this thing and I'm like, okay, Microsoft wants the creative market. It's clear that this is exactly saying with the Surface Studio.
Well, you know, there's another subtext here, and that is that when Apple was selling only Macs, they made a big thing about the quality of Mac OS X, its Unix underpinnings, its security. But over time, Apple has submerged and suppressed the Unix excellence and quality of Mac OS and sort of neglected the Pro line as well. And that results in people coming to the conclusion that, you know, Windows 10 isn't that bad. Windows 10 is as secure as Mac OS. Windows 10 allows you to get your job done. There's a lot of professional apps available for it. You know, if you had to use a beautiful 28-inch all-in-one Surface Studio from Microsoft, and you had to use Windows with Photoshop, you could get your work done. You could interface with supercomputers. You could interface with Microsoft's databases and their Active Directory, and you could actually get some work done on one of these beautiful devices. So I think the meme has changed here a little bit, and Microsoft and also Hewlett-Packard are cashing in on that respectability of Windows 10.
Well, I can tell you, I live across the river from where Wacom's headquarters are, and if I'm really quiet, I can hear them sweating.
Yeah, and rightly so, because, I mean, first we get the iPad Pro from Apple, mm-hmm. and that should have made Wacom a little nervous, and now we see the Surface Studio from Microsoft, and
which is the Cintiq. With a whole computer behind it.
Yeah, and you can buy a Cintiq that's a whole computer, but it's not this. The Surface Studio looks really impressive. This is the first Microsoft device that I've looked at and thought, I really want to try this out.
Same. Me too. Yeah. And okay. I'm excited about it, because here's why. Because I've said this for ever and 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 ever, give or take a couple and evers. And that is, I want Microsoft to be awesome. I've always wanted Microsoft to be awesome. I want them to be great. I want them to do something great, because we all think Apple is great. And Apple just sits around and says, you know what would be fun? If we had this dashboard that you could use on your computer, if we built a really usable front end for a Unix operating system, if we built a screen where the pixels were so dense that your eyeball can't register the number of dots on the screen. Apple sits around and comes up with great ideas, because in a lot of ways, for a lot of years, they haven't had any competition. So I always wanted Microsoft to do something great. I always wanted them to do something really awesome, because think how great Apple could be if Apple really had to compete. And that's really what I want to see happen. And I think it's on. I think it's on like Donkey Kong right now.
Yeah. And
well, you know, I've been saying for a while now that Satya Nadella, the Microsoft CEO, is a very smart guy. And Microsoft has been making a lot of smart moves and doing all the right things. They did screw up the other day when one of their marketing managers criticized Bill Belichick. You shouldn't have done that. That was the first mistake I've seen Microsoft make under Satya Nadella. But this kind of...
Oh, I've seen several. Satya made some big ones himself, too.
Yeah, he made one I didn't like. But my
good feeling about Microsoft is accentuated by this Surface Studio, and there's a Surface Book as well. And he's being very aggressive and very smart, and it's showing up. And Apple went for a long time without upgrading their Macs, and it's kind of a switch.
Switch. I mean, they've turned our heads, and I'm not a person who ever thought a Microsoft anything would be interesting, but I looked at this and went, that seems really neat. And more importantly, I looked at it like I looked at the iPad initially, which was in the beginning when the very first iPad was introduced. When I looked at it, I thought, I have a laptop, and given what the first iteration of iPad was capable of when it was released, I didn't have a place for that in my life. And I didn't, and I knew that. But I also could see the potential in something in between my iPhone and my laptop, and what kind of potential that could have to change how people interact with their technology on whatever scale that may be, whether it's, you know, creating documents, creating artwork, consuming anything. Like, everybody said the iPad was for consumption, and I never saw it that way from the beginning. And to me, it was really about the potential of what this could mean for how and where and, it, you know, utilizing technology. And to me, that's what I see in this. It's not necessarily because, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not Jeff. I don't spend a lot of time drawing. I'm really not good at it. And I don't want to be like, I'm not a person who's going to buy one of these to fool around with as an artist. I'm not that person. I don't do a lot of annotating of documents and things like that. So I'm not that person either, but I can see the potential in this for those mm-hmm. folks. You know, in a previous life, I did IT for people who designed outdoor clothing and footwear and things like that. And I can almost hear all of them over the sweating from Wacom. I can almost hear the excitement in some of those folks who are like, wow, I, you know, look what Microsoft is doing. And, you know, there's still a whole lot of Windows machines on the network that I'm on, and all the servers I can get to with a, you know, with a Windows computer, the same as I can with the Mac that I have. And if I've got this 28-inch thing, because I don't think you can buy anything Cintiq branded at an appreciable size. Jeff, you may be able to fact check me on that, but I thought it was limited to like 15 or 17.
You might be able to go up to 20 now. I can't remember off the top of my head, but not 28.
Yeah, even that's not.
Go ahead, John.
What really turns on is I've been writing and talking about for years about my vision of a, you know, beautiful 25 or 30 inch iPad, something that would tilt, something that would solve the gorilla arm problem, that one of these days I would be doing all my writing on a, instead of a, you know, a Mac with a big flat display, or mine's curved, I'd be doing it on an giant iPad, not a 12.9, but a 25 or 30 inch iPad running iOS, and it would tilt, and I would be, it would solve the gorilla arm problem. I could touch it. You know what, this Microsoft Studio, Surface Studio, is sort of like the instantiation of all the pent up fantasies I've had. And that's why I'm so excited about it.
I totally get it. And as someone that uses my technology for creative ends most of the time, mm-hmm. I totally get this too. It looks like something that I would be very interested in. Now, we're almost completely out of time. We have like 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So I have to point out before we wrap up that this has me really concerned about tomorrow's Hello Again Apple Media event. I'm really afraid that after what Microsoft did today, people are going to mm-hmm. walk away from tomorrow's media event and say, wait a second, Apple gave us year-old processors and a little touchy strip thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it? Mm-hmm. And yes, I know there will be more to the event, but I'm really concerned that's going to be the takeaway.
And, oh, I hope there's more.
Yeah.
We don't know that there's more.
Yeah. Well, earlier today, there was a report that Apple is going to show off some new discovery tools for content for Apple TV. So, yeah.
Oh, goody. Yawn. So,
snooze.
Yeah. So, there's snooze. A big update to a way older device so that now finally I can say, show me movies with Ewan McGregor's butt and maybe that'll work. Yay.
I don't even think it's going to be that good. But
yeah, see? So it's not even going to be great. So what we need tomorrow, I'm with you, Jeff, 100% on this. I think what we need tomorrow is a Steve walks out with an iMac magnitude event.
If Steve not does the number that, of people, the fact that he walked out on stage will overshadow any other announcement.
Absolutely. But so I understand that. But the magnitude of that event, remember, like, the monitor is the computer. Like, that moment of, you know, this big, beautiful display. It's got this fast processor. It's got a DVD drive in it. You know, like, that was a...
When he pulled the MacBook Air out of the envelope?
Well, that was the other thing I said was, you know, it needs to be an iMac moment. It needs to be a Steve Jobs whips a laptop out of a manila envelope magnitude moment. This is Apple betting big, big, big on portable computing by having put the amount of resources they put into the first generation MacBook Air, which again was a great tool that was just not for me. I could just
see his technical vision and pushed it down the line. Steve knew what he wanted.
Right.
He wanted an iPad. He wanted a MacBook Air that was thin. He made it happen. He forced the engineers to sweat and work weekends. So is Tim doing that?
I don't know.
Well, it's a different Apple, so I don't know that there's necessarily a good comparison there. But I think that they've come out with creative stuff. They've done interesting things. I think there are some very tense meetings going on right now.
Yeah, sure. This Microsoft event will probably change the tenor of tomorrow's presentation as well.
Yeah, my guess is
there's got to be a maturity phase. But there's got to be also an excitement phase.
Yeah, and my guess is that Apple is already reworking how they're going to present their announcements tomorrow. Because, who would have ever thought we'd be at a point where we'd be saying, because of what Microsoft announced today, Apple's going to have to rework what they announce tomorrow.
Well, Jeff, it's 2016. All bets are off.
Apple created the vacuum. So what do they expect?
And see, this is the thing that I think about this event overall, like looking back, this is going to be the takeaway. It's not going to be that they announced the thing on the arm. It's not going to be that they announced it. It's not going to be the actual hardware that came out of Microsoft's event. It's going to be, there are a lot of creative things that you can do with the thing they put out. And they saw that Apple has sort of quit caring about creatives, which is the only reason they're still an Apple, if we're really going to be honest with ourselves, is all those people who bought all those blue and white towers and gray and white towers and cheese grater towers and all those people who did all of that for all those years, you know, and then Apple takes Final Cut away and Apple takes Aperture away and Apple is now gunning for capital P people, and Microsoft saw an opportunity and took it. And so now in my mind, it's just Satya Nadella in the Matrix dojo looking at Tim Cook, who thinks he's the one, you know, giving him the little come ahead hand sign. Like, that's in my brain where this is going, and it's going to be fun.
Well, you know, the argument is that Apple isn't making any money off the professionals, but the other argument is you have to have halo equipment. Car companies have halo cars that make you want the rest of the line. Even if Apple breaks even on their professional products, it shows that they know what they're doing. There's a reason why car companies race. It helps the breed. It improves the technology. And there's a reason to have Halo Max, because that ultimate technology that we love and adore trickles down to the other machines. So giving up on the Halo equipment because it didn't make any money and we moved on to the mobility doesn't quite fill the bill. And Microsoft senses that.
Well, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up there. And I am really excited about tomorrow's Apple event, but I'm also a little bit nervous. So tomorrow's show will be late because we're going to record after Apple's announcements, because there will definitely be something to talk about. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. And I hope that I'm still really excited about what the announcements are. Either way, it looks like I'm probably buying a new laptop tomorrow. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
I'm calmer now. You're welcome.
I don't believe you, but we'll go with this. Listeners, thank you for being here. And don't forget, tomorrow's show will be a little late because we're recording after Apple's announcements. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.